Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to. The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to have Jared Sutton, our basketball insider, former Missouri Tiger, NBA scout now with the New Orleans Pelicans to talk about the NBA playoffs. But right now, we have a special guest. Will you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, I am Candace Lacoma. I'm the field marketing coordinator for Whataburger.
Very popular because you showed up here with several bags of food from Whataburger. Yes. And of course, Whataburger is now in the Kansas City market. How many?
We have four corporate locations, and we're about to open our first franchise location within the next month.
And where's that going to be?
Over at the Speedway.
Okay.
Shares the parking lot with Walmart and Chick-fil-A.
Okay,
KCK,
I got you.
KCK play a dog in my hometown.
I live in the Northland, and I know it's coming to the Northland as well.
Yes.
And so when's that? Where are we at here?
You know, I have like 10 coming,
right?
All within the year. So,
soon.
It's very soon. We're working on a bunch.
I drive by the site and just stare at it sometimes just to appear.
You know,
you said
coming.
You got a friend. This is a franchise, the one.
Yes.
Who's the franchisee?
So that is a part of Patrick Mahomes' investment group. That is who our franchisees are.
It makes it even more delicious. So what did you bring us? Because people think, what a burger. Boy, what a burger. But breakfast. And we have a good friend named Nick Leckie, who's from Texas, and he always talks about the breakfast.
Yes.
And so what did you bring us today, please?
We have incredible breakfast options. So my personal favorite is our honey butter chicken biscuit. We also just launched our spicy honey butter, which is incredible, as you can tell.
There's one of those in my belly right now
because
I swallowed it during the commercial
break.
Easy
there, buddy. How did that go down? Is it good?
Oh, my gosh.
Was it delicious?
Good. Yes. It was dripping with spicy honey.
Yes.
Wow.
It
was wonderful.
His finger looking good. No offense to
KFC
or anything, but
right.
We also have our taquitos. So we have our bacon and sausage, our breakfast on a bun, also bacon or sausage. And I believe that's all I brought.
That's more than enough. And so
there's a lot more options. There just weren't enough space in my car for it all.
Oh, wow. And what's Patrick like? What's his favorite?
His favorite is our honey butter chicken biscuit.
And that's your favorite?
It is my favorite.
All right. And so, and the breakfast. And look, Curtis Siebold has showed up. He's going to go in there and grab something, too. And so if you're not here at Union Broadcasting, you can just go to Whataburger and get this right now.
Yes, we sell breakfast from 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. every single day.
Every day.
Every day, 24/7, 364.
And so, what's your official title with Whataburger?
I'm the field marketing coordinator.
And so that sounds like a wonderful job.
It is. It's amazing. I take care of all of Kansas and all of Missouri.
Okay, I want you to be honest and tell me, have you ever seen anyone eat one of those biscuits faster than Nate did?
No.
It was a little awkward, wasn't it? You seemed somewhat concerned by that.
My college days, I've never seen somebody inhale it so fast.
You wouldn't recommend everyone do that because that could be dangerous for some people.
It definitely could be.
Right.
But if you're a pro at inhaling food, that's fine.
Look, the thing is, during the morning show, we have like 4-minute windows where we can eat something. And I wasn't going to eat half of that.
Well, that was 4 seconds, though. That's a little different. You know, that could have been.
I didn't want it to sit here and get cold during the segment, so.
All right, and so I asked
you. And it was delicious.
Breakfast, so then for lunch or dinner, what's your favorite menu item then?
I always recommend the number one if you haven't had us before.
Okay.
Get it with cheese. But my personal favorite is the number six. It's the avocado bacon burger. And then I get a large onion ring and gravy on the side.
Gravy on the side?
I'm from the Midwest.
Oh,
of course, gravy.
That's fine. Jared Sutton, you're a world traveler. You travel all over this great country of ours, scouting for the NBA. Can you comment on this Whataburger and the breakfast of all days that you could have been in studio? You're missing out on this Whataburger that was delivered to us.
I am missing out. I will say Whataburger is up there at the top for me. So every time I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, in the morning before I would drive back to Kansas City, I'd get Whataburger. I have to stop at Whataburger. It's the best. It's a favorite of mine. I'm so glad it's in Kansas City, too, now. So this is just speaking to me, really.
Are you sad that you're not here, though?
Very sad. Right. I mean, heartbreaking, really.
Well, but you know what? When he comes back, he can hit one of these locations, right?
There's one less than a mile from y'all. Absolutely. Come visit anytime.
Well, thank you so much for bringing all the breakfast in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And I will not eat mine as fast as Nate, but who does? I mean, I know. But she was very impressed by that, Nate. You've made a, you know.
Look, sorry, not sorry.
That's all right, then.
I already had my health smoothie.
That's the best way before you have one of those biscuits, you know, have a health smoothie.
Being healthy first and then, you know.
Yeah.
I like it.
That means the calories don't count on the fried chicken biscuit that I just ate.
That's the equation.
They cancel each other out.
Right. And thank you to Whataburger for bringing all this stuff in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for all you do for us.
And thanks for bringing one to KCK.
That's right. And we appreciate
it. Kansas City, Kansas.
And Sean, you said you grew up near him?
Like a mile from him in Emporia, Kansas.
any dirt you want to share? I didn't know him.
It's a small world. I used to ride my bike by his house, apparently. Had no idea.
You only heard the stories.
Though. He knew you were riding by his house.
That's exactly right.
So in Emporia, though, you got two choices when it comes to a greasy burger.
Yes.
The Vista Burger or the Brahms?
Yes.
Which one were you going to back in the day?
Brahms, because my dad likes their chili.
But now Whataburger is the choice.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Both
and my dad picks Whataburger over anything. When he's in Texas, he goes there every single day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Every single time.
All three meals. Wow.
All three meals.
And look, we like to sacrifice for the anytime you want to come in here and bring food. We'll carve out some time
for
you. Sacrifice the dieting. Yes, that's what we do here.
That's the kind of commitment we have.
We put Whataburger in the station first. So thank you for coming in. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Jared Sutton, I'm sorry that you can't have breakfast, but if you wanna talk basketball, we could do that. Or we could talk food.
I mean, Whataburger is going to be up there for me when I get back to KC after this conversation.
He's going right off the plane. He's going right to Whataburger. See how that happens? The power of radio. And so thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate that. What Nate did to that honey butter spicy biscuit is illegal in 17 states. I can promise you that right now, Jared. It was very impressive.
I'm quick and painless.
Almost similar to what the Heat did to the Celtics in the third quarter last night.
Very similar.
But before we get to that, you couldn't come on the show with us yesterday. What were you doing?
I was in G League interviews, so we had the G League Elite Camp yesterday. It was the second day, so I was in interviews from 8 to 1, interviewing players. We had like 20-minute windows and had a chance to interview a lot of guys yesterday. So I was out of commission, couldn't do our 9 a.m. time slot.
Okay, I'm asking for a favor. We're friends. I'll ask, and usually you come through for me, all right?
Okay.
Will you right now interview Nate Eucaty as if he was one of these players? Ask him if you just treat him like he's a player from yesterday. Nate's here. He's very eager. He's very young, unsure of himself. But he has some talent. He has some skill. Please conduct just a little bit of an interview with Nate Eucaty, similar to what you did yesterday.
So first of all, our director of sports psychology starts the interview. So we really dive into, like, you know, your upbringing. So I would probably hit Nate on a Strawberry Hill question. That's how I would start our interview. Get Nate going of, you know, what it was like growing up in Kansas, what it was like to, you know, grow up around, you know, his siblings and parents, and kind of when he started playing basketball, when he started to fall in love playing basketball. That would be my first question.
Okay. And so do you ask anything weird, though? Like, hear some of these weird questions that players get asked at the combine or anything? Like,
you don't want me to answer that question?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it'll last for an hour, so that could be a long one. Trying to find something a little bit more to the point.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
There's a good question. So with our one of our G League coaches is an assistant with our G League team in Birmingham, asked a question, and actually he asked it of every player. And so I think it's a good one. If you had an opportunity to pick between Batman, Robin, and the Joker, who do you pick and why?
Here we go.
And that was kind of like an out of the
like who do
question.
I pick as in who do I want to be or who do I want to play
who,
with?
Who do you want to be?
Like oh, if I'm you Robin. Had an
opportunity. That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
Why?
I love it.
Why do you want to be Robin?
Tell us why, Nate. Tell us why.
Well, because Robin's every bit as important to the success of the mission as Batman is, but he facilitates. He does all the things necessary to help Batman execute what he needs to do. Plus, he's got quick little one-liners, and he's a little guy like me.
And Robin plays a role, right?
Yeah, he plays a role, whatever it takes to help the team win. Doesn't care who gets the credit.
Exactly. It's a great answer.
So then, as an organization, you view that as a great answer, Jarrett?
Well, I don't think there's like – it's not designed to be like, is it a right answer, wrong answer? It's just really interesting to see what – we had guys pick Batman. We had guys pick the Joker. We had a good amount of guys pick the Joker. But we only had one guy say Robin, which I thought was really interesting. And the guy that actually said he was Robin, it made a ton of sense. I thought he was actually going to say Robin. And it's the last question. It's kind of – there's icebreakers you ask. Like we have a little like soft ball we throw to a guy, and the player catches it. And there's a bunch of questions on this little like soft – like it's like a bouncy ball, if you will. And they can pick different questions. And it's just to kind of ease into the conversation. It's, you know, what's your favorite – you know, music genre. There's all these different questions. But really, I think that question is so interesting because a lot of guys will say Batman for obvious reasons. You know, he's there to save the day and, you know, he's got all the powers and all these things. But also, like, the Joker was always an interesting answer, too, you know, of a guy that maybe gets misunderstood. And then guys really dive into why they chose that and then they tie it back into their background or, you know, their experiences. And I've told you guys this before, but doing interviews with players and the NBA side, the NBA Combine side starts today, and our interviews will be a little different of how we do it with guys that are going to be probably up higher in the draft. But with the G League Elite Camp, there's guys that get called up. Jalen Wilson was one. So we had seven guys get called up. But, I mean, you're only really supposed to allow five, but the league was able to do seven because the interviews, I mean, they're great. Like, you see players on the floor. They do all their testing, everything. They're you know, picked apart, really, during this process. But the interviews are so great and fun for me because you do so much background and homework on these guys throughout the year, and you've never spoken to them before. It's all hearsay. It's coming from coaches. It's coming from their high school experience. It's coming from academic coordinators, all these different things. And then all of a sudden, you get them in an interview room, and you only have 20 minutes. And you really, you know, try to make the most of your time. You try to be as efficient as possible. And some of these guys are impressive, like really fun to talk to, easy to talk to. They don't hide from things in their past. And you start to just get to know them and you connect with them a little bit more. And that's really just like what the combine is for. And then obviously workouts will follow this in our own building. We'll have way more opportunity to sit down, maybe take, you know, the prospects to dinner and get to know them even more. So I love this part because it's really kind of the kickoff of the next month leading. It's a full sprint from now to June 23rd when we have the draft. We had the lottery last night. So we have a top 10 pick. And there's just – this is when it's fun for me because every day there's always something going on and you're trying to find out everything you can find out and get to know these guys way more on an even personal level.
Ask me that same question now.
The Joker, Batman, Robin.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Steven. If you had a pick between Batman, Robin, or the Joker, who would you like to play and why?
None of the above.
None of the above.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
If I pull that off, will you die?
It would be extremely painful.
You're a big guy.
For you.
I'm Bane.
I love it. Now, see, that's now tell us why. Tell us why you would be Bane.
Because it would be extremely painful. For you, for the opponents. I will be extremely painful for the opponents.
He's an enforcer. He's a bruiser.
Now,
see, we would have remembered that interview. Like it would have been that would be the interview of the day right there.
I'm not going to read the tweet that I just saw. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you are.
You really it's bad.
Is it directed at me?
Yes.
Oh boy.
I don't want Jarrett to be associated with this tweet. This is very listen or lose-ish.
Oh, no.
So, Jarrett, do you want to cover your ears and mute and divorce yourself from this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take a break.
Here we go. Jarrett Sutton right now is not on the show. It's just me and Nate. Now, do you really want a piece of this? You want to know this?
I don't. It doesn't sound like I do, but I don't think I really have a choice, do I?
So he asked you if you'd rather be what? What three choices did he give you?
Batman, Robin, or the Joker.
You sure you want me to?
No.
Marco, should I read the tweet or not?
Yes.
I think this is coming from a different universe or a different movie.
Please read it.
Ask Nate if he'd rather be Buttman, Throbbin, or the Poker. I'm not. That's.
Wow. Wow.
Look at Marco. See, he doesn't get
so many choices. I don't know.
Marco doesn't understand.
His face just turned bright red.
Well, answer it.
It's impossible to pick between so many great choices.
Jarrett wanted to not laugh, but he does.
Oh man, so good.
Right? Is it really?
I think I'd be the poker.
Nate just said he'd be the poker, as opposed to Buttman or Throbbin.
Yeah, Buttman or Throbbin.
Mark that. We'll save that one.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't mark that. Jared's like, well, I got more interviews. I got to go, fellas. So then what happened? So, okay. So,
I want more questions. I don't need more questions.
You give him another question. You get any more like that?
Let's see. Well, I guess, you know, a lot of the intel I've done on Nate is he's a phenomenal dancer and his shoe game is strong. So wow. I would ask, like, all right, give me your best, like, you know, you're a Jordan guy.
Yep.
Like, what J's are your favorite J's?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Baby J.
Yep. That's an easy one. Baby J. I was Baby J in college, allegedly. The greatest Jordan of all time is the White Cement 4. And then I could go into...
Why?
Because the 4 is the greatest Jordan in terms of, like, the year of all time. It was right at the peak of the Jordan brand building. The design of it is intricate, and it's a terrible basketball shoe to actually wear while you're playing basketball, but damn, it looks good. And the White Cement 4 is just the cleanest color combo ever. It's got the silver and black in it and white. It's just an absolutely gorgeous shoe, and I never got to have a pair of those when I was a kid because my dad bought me one pair of Jordans when I was a kid, and they were the Military 4s, which was the blue and white ones. And right after I got those, the White Cement 4s came out, and I begged my dad for a pair. He said, I'm never going to spend $100 on a pair of sneakers for you again. It's ridiculous. So I had to wait till I was a grown-up, and they re-released them, and I spent well over $100 on them.
What do you say to that answer?
Well, that's why you asked the question, right? Like, Nate got fired up, like, passionate. Like, all of a sudden, the great icebreaker. Like, Nate's ready for the interview. He's locked in. He's already... You know, ready to go. I would then say, hey, Jordan 11's patent leather is where I go. I mean, it's like the most reliable, I know, but Nate's answer is great because it's like, okay, I'm going to look these up and see what these are.
So. Yeah, but the patent 11's, I was a little more grown up by then. The Jordan 4's came out when I was in eighth grade, and I was chased down Central Avenue in front of City Fish for my Jordans when I was an 80-pound eighth grader.
Good.
And you know what? If you want to scout a little bit, I got away from those guys. Jumped over a privacy fence and hid for 2 hours. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a guy with some escapability, quick lateral movement, explosion, I'm your guy.
See, Steven, this is why I would love, like, this is why these are great questions, because all the interviews, it's like, okay, you're trying to break the, like, guys are nervous, guys don't really want to talk a lot, you know, they get out, they maybe some things are scripted in their answers. Interviewing Nate would just be great. The 20 minutes would just fly by.
Right. You know?
Yeah. One question.
There'd be
one
no question. Problem with Nate not wanting to talk a lot.
Good luck with everything. We enjoyed it. Yeah.
You'd be just fine filling your time allotment
with
Nate.
Time's up, sir.
Right.
All right. So we'll
we ran out of time, Nate. So we're going to end the interview.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the playoffs. All right.
Let's do it. All right.
Jarrett Sutton is on the phone with us. Back after this on WHB.
Yo, Snow, they came around looking for you the other day.
Word,
bust it. informant. You know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like it, boom, boom, bam. Take the man that says say that I'm a stormy, stab somebody down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, bam. Informant. You know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I like it, boom, boom, bam. Take the man that says say that I'm a stormy, stab somebody down the lane.
Hi, Todd, how are you? Good to see you. Todd! How are you? What do you think about what I told Todd?
I don't think he appreciated what you had to say to him.
No. Jared Sutton. So last night the Celtics were without Marcus Smart and Al Horford, and they were up 13 in the first half, and you're thinking, wow, they could pull off win on the road game one without those two, they'd be looking pretty good. And then Miami went crazy in the third quarter, 22-2 run, and ended up outscoring Boston 39-14. And so they win by double digits. How do you feel if you're Boston? You feel like, okay, you know what? We were okay for a while, but we didn't have two of our important players. We're still okay in this series. How much would you be shell-shocked by what happened in the third quarter? What are your takeaways from game one of the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's tough to see, you know, a lead slip away and then just get kind of blown out in the second half. But, you know, I think with where Boston was at, no Marcus Smart, Al Horford in protocols, and it was good to see Robert Williams play, get back. I thought he played well. Jason Tatum can't turn the ball over seven times. That's probably – I'll start there. He's too good of a player. We said it – I was watching the game with our staff last night, and in a game like that, Miami's so physical. They're going to hit the gas at some point, especially when their backs are against the wall and they're down. You knew they were going to throw a haymaker punch at some point, and they did. And Boston just didn't really recover from that. And that's, to me, what has to happen in the series, and that's where Marcus Smart comes in. The fact he wasn't able to play, you know, he is Defensive Player of the Year, and he's the guy that not only will take the punch, but he'll punch back too. And he sets the tone for that Celtics defense. And at one point in the second half of the season, the Celtics defense was at like a historic number in terms of defensive efficiency. Like, they were number one in the league, but they were like all time in some categories defensively, and a big part of that is Marcus Smart. So not really surprised to see Miami hit the gas and Jimmy Butler, you know, play as well as he did, going 12 of 19, 60% from the field, only shot two threes, and was 17 of 18 at the line. Like, he was plus 25 last night. So Jimmy went Jimmy mode, four steals, three blocks. I mean, that's a had nine rebounds. I mean, my gosh, that's just a performance. There's guys in this series too with Miami that I still think get a little bit overlooked. I'm going to put Bam Adebayo in this conversation because he is not flashy and he's not loud like Draymond, but Bam just impacts the defensive side of the ball so much, and it's a big reason why Tatum struggled. The switchability is everything in the playoffs. Bam can switch out one through five and really lock down and make guys uncomfortable and force bad shots, force turnovers. And as I said last week, like, role players are massive in the playoffs. Like, your stars got to be great, and the stars were. Like, Jimmy was great. You know, Jason, yeah, turned the ball over. He had 29 points. Jaylen Brown was very good. 6 of 10 at the line. Probably needs to capitalize there. Missing four free throws. He's going to hate that. But he had 24 and 10. It's a good night for him. But the role players, Tyler Hero, who's not a role player, played well. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus are just great role players, right? Victor Oladipo is coming off the bench for them. Caleb Martin's coming off the bench for them. Dwayne Denman, who we had in Santa Cruz, comes off the bench for them. They really give them a lift. Limited minutes, but their role players played better than the Celtics role players, quite frankly. Grant Williams really didn't get going. They need Grant to make shots. They need Derek White to be more of an offensive production piece. Peyton Pritchard was good for them, but there's other players that got to step up and carry the load if Marcus Smart and Al Horford are not in the game. So Boston's not out of the series by any means. It's one game. Adjustments will happen. This game is going to be, though, a physically grinding series. These two teams reflect one another pretty similarly. They're very tough and gritty. Marcus Smart's a big part of that. Him not playing, I think, is a big reason why game one went the way it went.
We ready to talk about this this Western Conference?
Sure.
Big one.
Yep. I mean, there's some star power in this one, huh?
Well, by the way, who do you think wins the East now?
I am not going to go seven. I actually think the Celtics can pull the upset.
Ew.
But they got to be healthy. Like, Al Horford's got to be there, Mark. If not, I got the Heat. There's no way Boston can get past the Heat limited with not everybody fully healthy.
And now we move on. Nate Buchady.
All right, so, first of all, just give us your thoughts on this series. Like, handicap it for us. What do you think?
Well, I think, first off, Luka Doncic kind of took a step in his career in that Game 7. Let's start there, right, of what they did against Phoenix on the road in a Game 7 to just absolutely dominate. And Luka having, you know, a 35-point night performance. Jalen was great. And then the big key for Dallas that I think I just touched on, role players, like Spencer Dinwiddie went for 30 and was 11 of 15 from the field. He shot 70% from the field and 70 from threes, 5 of 7. We had Spencer in Brooklyn when I was in Brooklyn 4 years ago. I love this kid, and he's kind of been moved around and shopped around, but he's an elite-level scorer. He's had health issues. That set him back some, and he's, again, kind of just floated not under the radar because everybody in the league knows how talented he is, but he's also been a little bit up and down at times, a little bit inconsistent, and he was great in that Game 7 off the bench. He was huge. But Maxi Kleber is going to be big in this series, space shooter, Dorian Finney-Smith as well. This is the Golden State Warriors, though. Like, let's get serious here. The Warriors are the team that literally in these playoffs contemplated bringing Steph off the bench because Jordan Poole's been that good. I really think when you look at the Warriors, Klay Thompson's back, Draymond Green, obviously, Andrew Wiggins, like they're pieces that they have. When Golden State's firing on all cylinders, they are still the team to beat in the West. Like, and that's been the case even in the regular season, right? With the Suns were fantastic all year. They were the best team in the NBA. But the reality was the Warriors were not fully healthy really at any point, I think, all year. Like, they had a couple games where everybody was back. But Steph and Klay and Draymond, Poole, like all these guys together, they really didn't have much together in terms of a sample size during the regular season. And that's why, I mean, Golden State, they just have a championship pedigree. That's what it comes down to. Like, Steve Kerr's been in moments as a coach now. Not to say Jason Kidd hasn't, you know, been in plenty of moments, obviously, in his career as a player and as an assistant coach. But I just don't see how – I'm happy for Dallas because they've gotten over a hurdle. Like, they've always been the team that's got Luka, and can they get out of the first round? Okay, can they get to a Western Conference Finals? And now here they are. But now they go up against a Golden State team that was the three seed. And we all know Golden State's not really a three seed, right? They're a team that can just knock you out at any time. Steph and Klay can go off at any time. Jordan Poole's now in this conversation of going off at any time. And then Draymond just sets the tone for them defensively. He's the guy that's going to get 15 rebounds and 8 assists, right? He might not really score. He can score the ball if you need him to, but he's just going to do all the little things. He's just the glue that holds them all together. We've known that for years. In close games, in battles, they have the championship pedigree over Dallas. That's why I'm going to give them the edge in this series. I think it'll be a good one. We'll see how Luka operates against this Golden State team. Who guards Luka? Where's the switching happening? Can Steph hold his own and be fully ready to go health-wise to be able to guard and slide? Like, all these things are going to be question marks in this series. But I give the edge to Golden State, and I think when they are playing at their peak, like we know they can play, they are so tough to beat in a seven-game series. Like, I just don't see that happening. I think Dallas can make it interesting, but I'll ultimately go with Golden State in the series.
Okay, so I wanted to play for you because you talked about Phoenix and how Dallas got past them and what an embarrassing loss in that Game 7. Patrick Beverley has been making some waves for his appearances on First Take this week, and I wanted to play for you what Pat Bev had to say about the Phoenix Suns.
We're not having a conversation about why Phoenix lost in theory. We're having a conversation about why they were down by 46 points.
Scared.
30 at the half.
They were scared. 46.
So now that's where, what are you saying to that?
Basketball player, you can see it in their eyes. They were scared. It ain't about Luka taking their soul. They knew starting the game what was going to happen. He's done it before. They watch, trust me. They have iPhone. They have Instagram. They see the numbers of Luka Doncic averaging 39. They hear me saying, man, he did it to me. He did it to me, Kawhi, Paul George. I'm damn sure you're going to do it to them. They know that. Boy, scared of Luka. Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man. Everybody in the league knows that, bro. Like, it's just that y'all don't know that because y'all not in the locker room. No one's afraid of Phoenix. We wanted them. We wanted them. No one's afraid of Phoenix. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul George last night, man. Pat, ain't nobody scared of them. But you face Dallas, you ain't scared of Dallas, but, man, you...
You scared Luka.
Hey, man, you got to get your game right when you play Luka. I'm just being honest.
Jared Sutton, your thoughts.
Wow.
He went in. Mean.
Well, you know what? Let's play one more.
Yeah.
Let's play one more.
Please do.
Let's play the Chris Paul one I just sent you. This is Patrick Beverly on Chris Paul.
Ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when he played Phoenix Suns. Nobody in the NBA.
Well, what did I just say, though?
And I'm just letting you know how NBA players feel and think.
I believe you, but what I'm saying
he's finessed the game to a point where he gets all the petty calls, all the swipe throughs at the end. I mean, this guy is out, man. We gonna be honest. We want to be really honest.
Yes.
He should have fouled out. He should have fouled out. The last game too. You see the replay against Brunson. Hit him on the shoulder. Hit him in the mouth. Ref don't call anything. If that's me, review it. Oh, flagrant one. If that's him, they don't call it. So let's not get it twisted, man. He should have fouled out. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody. Is that what you say?
Did you see that? No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Because you haven't suited up. You know, guys don't like to tell you all the truth. You know that. Because they scared. They scared what you're going to take with it.
No. He's right about that. They will lie. He will. He's honest. They will lie. That is true. He's not lying about that.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know that. Everybody know that.
He can't guard anybody.
What we call him? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because
no, I don't accept that. No. I'm saying again, if you're taller than him, you'll see you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
an issue. But give him the Ben Simmons slander. Give him the PG 13 slander. Give him the slander that you give everybody. Come on, Steve.
He called Chris Paul a cone. What do you think about what Patrick Beverly had to say about the Suns and Chris Paul?
I mean, ESPN is just I see Pat. I haven't listened to a single interview. I don't watch the Stephen A. show. I don't really watch a lot of that. But, I mean, Pat Bev and Stephen A., I just can only imagine what's being said. And, you know, if someone's scared. Like, I got news for you. Chris Paul ain't scared of anyone. I know that much. There's a reason why he's been one of the – I think Chris Paul got tired. I think there's things that can be said about, you know, his age and the physicality of the playoffs. I like to think we had something to do with that a little bit in the first round when he had to have a perfect game and knock us out in game six. That I think sort of wore him down a little bit. I will say that. I also agree a little bit with Pat Bev on the pettiness. I think there's something to be said with that, with Chris. He's such a great player. Like, I love Chris Paul. His talent, his ability – all these things in his career, like, he is a dominant point guard. And it's so hard to find a point guard in the NBA. It's kind of the point where teams don't even really identify a player as a point guard. It's can you be a facilitator and initiator in an offense? But Chris Paul is the point god, if you will, as he's called. But I think, you know, I don't think Luka backing down in this series from Book. I think that is the conversation in that series. I think Booker and Luka have a little bit of a competitive fire to those two, knowing both those guys are elite players. And, you know, there's always going to be these conversations around those two guys. How elite are they? Can they win? Can they get over the hurdle? Can they win a championship? Jason Tatum's in this conversation in terms of the Eastern Conference, getting out of the Eastern Conference Finals, where he's taken Boston so many times. Can he get over the hurdle? You know, all these narratives that are around young, talented players. The league is in great hands with all these guys. Let's just say that.
Jarrett.
It was a great series. So.
This is just, to me, like, it was really entertaining listening to Beverly talk. Yeah. In the Western Conference Finals last year.
Pat Bev
and the Clippers saw Chris Paul go for 24 points a game, 8.8 assists per game, and beat them in the Conference Finals. You know, like, to me, that's a little bit like, you got your ass kicked by that man. And now, a year later, when your team that you led didn't even make it to the playoffs.
Don't take away from the entertainment value, damn it.
That's right.
You want to talk about
well,
petty.
Come on now.
exactly.
That seems like a little bit of sour grapes. Am I wrong? A little bit of sour grapes. You're not scared of Chris Paul, but he went for 24 and 9 against you in the conference finals and kicked your ass.
Nate Killjoy over here.
I'm for the content. I'm all for it.
Before we run out of time, I want to ask you just about the draft lottery. Orlando gets the number one pick. Do you like the system? Do you like the way they do it now, or would you like to see it changed?
I like the system when, you know, the Lakers can pick swap with us after the Anthony Davis trade and we get a top 10 pick. Yes, I like that part of it. but, yeah, you know, it's fascinating. The lottery is so different than, you know, the Major League Baseball draft or the NFL draft. There's so much to dive into with how the pick swaps happen, who gets what, you know, pick, selection, where it falls, the percentage chances. I mean, it's like so much of a science, like an analytics now driven lottery of teams that might have a chance. And I mean, the Pistons at 5 have to be killing themselves, right? That Shaq jumped them, and I thought Detroit would get in the top 4. I think they were expecting to get in the top 4. And when you're in the top, like, we're at 8 and we're really excited about being at 8. Like, we love being at 8. We did not have a first round pick after the CJ McCollum trade. We finish ahead of the Lakers. We make the playoffs. We get their pick in a pick swap.
Boom.
And we had a chance to get in the top 4. We had a 24% chance to get in the top 4. So we were, you know, pins and needles last night together watching the lottery. Our coaching staff was with us, our front office. We were all together in Chicago and watching that. And every team in Chicago, it's just kind of fun. Like, you see these guys all day at the gym, at Wintrust, and then – you know, everybody kind of breaks out and goes to their own dinners and are watching the lottery and seeing where it falls. And then we have the NBA Combine today with the interviews and the testing, and then they play tomorrow and Friday. So it's sort of like the start of all of this. And I like how it brings a lot of it's a little bit anticlimactic, right? It's an hour. It's right before game one of either the Western or Eastern Conference Finals. And you sort of break into, you know, man, this is, you know, this could change our franchise. Like, we were expecting to be at 8. We also had a small chance of losing the pick, and we had a percentage chance to get in the top 4. So your range is kind of all over the place, and you're going through you're putting your board together, and you're having conversations around players, and you're in all your pre-draft meetings getting ready for next month. But, you know, lottery night, anything can happen, and you never know. So I think the Pistons are probably – upset today of losing an opportunity to get in the top 4. Sacramento jumps, which is great. It's great to see Nick Collison representing the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought he was great last night on the show. Had a chance to see Nick the other day here at the Combine, and I'm so happy he's in it. And with Oklahoma City, he's great for them. And it's just fun to see everybody kind of – this is a league kind of operation in Chicago. Everybody's here. You get to see so many colleagues from all different teams. And that, to me, is what makes it fun. And the lottery is a big part of that. So I enjoy it. It's very different. It's very unique. There's so many questions I get about, why do you guys have an opportunity to get in the top 4? How does this work? And there's so much that goes into the lottery and how the ping pong balls bounce. And we're just excited to have a top 10 pick. I'll tell you that much. We're fired up. It's a good draft. And really, really looking forward to next month and an opportunity to bring a player into our organization, bringing Zion Williamson back, have a chance to compete in the West fully healthy with CJ, with Brandon, with Herb, you know, and have a chance to opportunity to not only finish higher, but have an opportunity to really compete and maybe get in the Western Conference Finals as well next year.
There you go. And, of course, New Orleans, the only playoff team that will have a lottery pick, the only 2022 playoff team currently with a lottery pick. So good stuff for the Pelicans. Hey, Jared, thank you for the time. I know you're busy up there. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you, and we'll save some of this Whataburger for you next time you come in here.
Please do. And also wanted to wish Jamie Bloom a happy 50th birthday.
That's
birthday today, so he's my guy. I haven't seen him in a long time. So let's say happy birthday to Bluma.
Happy birthday to Bluma from Jared Sutton in Chicago. Jared, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's our man Jared Sutton. Back after this on WHP. Thanks to all of our guests for coming on the show. We had Mike Boddicker. We had Gary Lezak. Matt Derrick, Trenny Kuznarek, Jared Sutton, Whataburger. And thank you for listening. This has been the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.